I remember quite a number of years ago, my father telling me the story of the Jewish atheist. He said every village in Eastern Europe had representatives of every type, and in this village there was the Jewish atheist. And he was the one who made fun of all the prayers and the worship and so on. And one day, he was standing in the town square being atheistic. And a man came up to him and said, "You know what, I want to join you because I'm also an atheist. You're not alone. I too am a Jewish atheist." And so the atheist said to him, "Have you studied Torah?" He said, "Yeah, I know a little bit." He goes, "You know Talmud? You know Mishnah? You know Gemara?" He said, "Not so much." He said, "Have you studied rabbinic literature?" He goes, "No." He said, "Then you don't know enough to be an atheist." And I thought of that with this morning's parsha, because when rabbis come to Tazria and Mitzorah, we have the same problem that actually our bar and bat mitzvah solved brilliantly this morning, which is, what in the world do you talk about when the Torah goes on at great length about skin diseases? And I realized that what you could talk about is the deeper reason that the Torah talks about skin diseases, which is the deeper reason. What the atheist was saying to the aspiring atheist is, if you want to assert something important about the world, you can't do it on the surface. It has to be deep. And only if you understand can you say things. And what the Torah is saying by talking about the ways in which the Kohanim would look at someone's skin is that it was always a manifestation of something deeper. That nothing important in life is ever just surface. Nothing is only what it is. Now I know that there are other people who will tell you the opposite. They'll say it is what it is. There's no deeper meaning, it's not so complicated, but such people are not Jews. Jews just don't think that way. And it's no mistake that psychoanalysis was invented by a Jew. Why Freud? Do you know what Freud had in his office? He had artifacts, and he used to compare psychoanalysis to archaeology. In other words, you had to dig underneath the surface to understand anything. That you couldn't know what was happening up here unless you went down layer after layer after layer, just like the tells in Israel that are mounds and they look like hills, but what they really are is one civilization on top of another. And you can't understand any of them without looking beneath the one that preceded it. Which is why you can go to Israel and spend all your time in underground tunnels and archaeological digs. In other words, examining everything beneath. Our society, to some extent, militates against that. Right now, you could be thinking very deeply about the Torah, about the necessity of depth, but if your phone dings, then you have this feeling that, oh my God, this is what really matters. We're constantly pulled up from the surface, almost as if we were diving into the Dead Sea, and we get pulled up to the surface over and over again by the fact that we have so many things coming at us all the time. So much information. So many little bits of communication that pull us from deep thought to the shallow. But in order to go deep, what you need is not just the resolve to do it, but also time. This is part of the point of Pesach. We're coming up on Pesach. And has it ever occurred to you that the matzah is a very strange symbol of our most important holiday of freedom? Why a cracker? And we say, well, they didn't have much time to bake, so they only baked this. But what's the significance of that? I never really understood it until I read a comment that was made by the aunt of Ralph Waldo Emerson. He had a woman in his life, his aunt as he was growing up, named Mary Moody Emerson. And every now and then she would say things to him that he remembered his whole life. And once he said to her, "I'm in a hurry." And she said, "Hurry is for slaves." Think about it. Why were the Jews in a hurry to leave Egypt? Because they were slaves. A slave doesn't control his or her own time. The master says, go, you go, right away. Once they were in the desert, they may have been hot, they may have been upset, they may have been hungry, but they had time because they were free. And Pesach reminds us that to be free, you have to take the time to be free. You have to not enslave yourself to constant hurry. The fact that you're here this morning, believe it or not, is an expression of freedom. Because you're taking a couple hours out of lives, all of which have a million obligations, to sit and pray and think, to be free. Depth requires time. And Pesach celebrates that. And the reason we read the Haggadah over and over and over again is you can't go deep with anything if you only hear it once. You can't go deep with a person in one conversation alone. You can't go deep with a story if you've only read it a first time. Nabokov, the great Russian-American writer, said there's no such thing as reading, only rereading. The first time, you just get the idea. The second time you read it, you start to sink in, to go deep. So that's, I think, part of the lesson of tzara'at, of the surface disease, is if you only look at the surface of a person, of an issue, of a story, you don't understand it at all. And if you delude yourself that you do, then you don't understand it twice. Because at least if you meet someone superficially and you know you don't know them, that's some kind of knowledge. But if you think you do, if you're the first kind of person who says, I met him, I judge people very quickly, I understand exactly what they are, then you haven't learned the message of the Parsha, which is everybody, like every idea, has depths. And until you start to get some sense of them, you don't know a person, you don't know a tradition, you don't know yourself. Rabbi Soloveitchik once said that there are two kinds of people in religion. There are people who go from place to place, they gather little bits, and they think that by assembling all these little bits, they get a perfect spiritual practice. He said, they're nomads. Nomads who travel from place to place. He said, and then there are those who stay in one place, who pray the same prayers, who study the same texts, who become part of a community. They're farmers. But he said, the difference is nomads make nothing grow. Only farmers make things grow. In our age, when there are so many distractions, if you want to make something grow, you have to go deep. You have to read it over and over again. You have to meet sometimes the same people and pray the same prayers and repeat the same stories and do the Haggadah around the Seder table yet again. Not because you'll get the same message, but because you'll get the same message deeper, in an ever-deepening spiral which will not only allow you to understand our tradition, but also something about your own soul. It is not true that by the end of our lives we could possibly exhaust even the mysteries of a single human soul. We are in God's image, and God is infinite. But the deeper you go, the more you understand, the more you get a glimpse into God's design. We are not here to skim the surface of the world. You can, some do, but it's a waste. There are beautiful and wonderful and sometimes frightening but fascinating things beneath the surface of each human being and of each tradition. So, I leave you with what Emerson said later in his life, probably influenced by that early teaching. He said, "I love all those who dive, who go down, who see the deep, who aren't afraid to explore who they are and who others are in their lives." I encourage you this Pesach, as each Shabbat, to learn more about your soul, to look beneath the surface of your life, to recognize that in the mystery, in the depth, is the wonder and the blessing. Shabbat shalom.